Hello and welcome to this reflection from Stratton Vale Baptist Church. Before Easter and during Lent, we started looking at selected passages from Matthew's Gospel. And we saw how Jesus' authority was exercised through his teaching and his miracles. And from these things, we thought about what we can learn about how Jesus should impact our lives. And obviously, having just celebrated Easter, we can clearly see how Jesus brought us freedom and salvation. So we're going to continue to follow Jesus' life as we take a look at more selected passages from Matthew's Gospel. But before we jump into the new passage, let us have a brief recap of where we had got to. Jesus had finished teaching the crowd during the Sermon on the Mount. Upon coming down from the mountain, he healed a leper, a centurion's servant, Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and various other people who were brought to him. He then made preparations to cross to the other side of the lake while warning the crowd about the cost of following him, challenging two people who claimed to want to follow him but were not truly willing to sacrifice everything to him. So we pick up the story from the moment when Jesus and his disciples get into the boat to cross to the other side of the lake. I'm going to read from Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." A quote possibly attributed to Mother Teresa or to another anonymous writer says, "To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing our true self. To place your ideas, your dreams, before the crowd is to risk loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try it all is to risk failure. But to risk we must, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The man, the woman, who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing." Now this sounds like quite an appropriate quote for what we're talking about as we look at the disciples standing on the shore and they make the decision to climb into the boat. As the quote says, to place your ideas, your dreams before the crowd is to risk loss. And that's what the disciples did. They placed their ideas and dreams before the crowds as they declared, by stepping into the boat, that they were willing to risk losing everything for the sake of following Jesus. They declared that they were prepared to follow the one who was not willing to follow the status quo, but instead to usher in a kingdom of justice. And of course, choosing to go against the status quo quickly makes enemies out of rich and powerful people, as we see in the events of Easter. The disciples also chose to reach out for another and risk involvement. The disciples reached out for Jesus, risking getting wholly involved in his life and reaping the consequences, both good and bad, for that involvement. They could have chosen to remain standing on the shore, but instead they chose to get in the boat with Jesus. They chose the risk, which led to them encountering the storm that they believed would kill them. But that risk also led them to seeing the work of the one who could calm the storms with his words. They also followed Jesus in reaching out to others, those that were hurting, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. They chose to get involved in these people's lives, bringing them hope and healing, but also carrying the burden of caring for them. Helping hurting people, if you really care about them at all, will cost you everything you have. Serving others takes a toll on the spirit. It is hard to care and love sometimes. Something that people in the caring professions often experience is compassion fatigue, when you have used all the compassion you have and are unable to summon up any more on your own. I imagine that at this point in the disciples' journey with Jesus, they might have been starting to feel a bit of compassion fatigue. We're told in Matthew 8, verses 16 to 17, that when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Jesus took up our infirmity and bore our diseases. And when we follow him and his example in reaching out to the hurting, we too take on some of their burdens. So when Jesus gives the order in Matthew 8:18 for the disciples to prepare the boat and to cross to the other side of the lake, I imagine they were experiencing mixed feelings. Relief that they would get away from the crowd and get some rest. Anxiety and nervousness about what they will encounter next. Perhaps excitement and anticipation. Perhaps reluctance and doubt. But whatever they are feeling, they get in the boat and follow him. They choose to take the risk. And this is the first point that I really want to emphasise here. The disciples choose to follow Jesus into the boat. Jesus instructs them to get in the boat and they listen. They choose to trust Jesus' directions and guidance. Is there a boat that Jesus is telling you to get into? Is there a direction he is guiding you to? What is Jesus calling you to do at this point in your life? And are you prepared and willing to trust him and follow him wherever he is leading you? As that quote that I said at the beginning says, to try at all is to risk failure, but to risk we must, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The man, the woman who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. Are you willing to take whatever risk Jesus is calling you to? Are you willing to get in the boat? So that's that first point. Are you willing to get in the boat? Are you willing to take the risk to trust Jesus and go wherever he calls you? The disciples get in the boat and they set off, and it all seems to be going smoothly, but we are told suddenly a furious storm comes upon them. It seems that there wasn't a hint of the storm when they first set out, but once they are far into the lake, the storm comes upon them, and the disciples are terrified. They wake Jesus up. Lord, save us! We're going to drown! In Mark's narration of this event, the disciples wake Jesus up, almost shouting at him in desperation and fear, asking, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? I find Mark's retelling a little more open and honest than Matthew's. Mark expresses the doubt that we all often feel when we're in difficult situations. Don't you care? We tend not to doubt God's love and compassion for us when we're in good times, when everything is going smoothly. But when we face challenges, then we find ourselves full of doubt and fear. We might never have uttered the words, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? But how often have we expressed something similar? Jesus, don't you care that my child is sick? Jesus, don't you care that my marriage is falling apart? Jesus, don't you care that my friends have deserted me? Jesus, don't you care that I have no money? Jesus, don't you care that I feel so alone? Jesus, don't you care that I want to give up? Jesus, don't you care that my husband has died? Jesus, don't you care that I have lost my job? And so on and so on. There are so many ways that we utter the phrase, Jesus, don't you care? But though we may utter these things in our darkest moments, we can be reassured that Jesus does care. His love and compassion are not measured by our situations or the difficulties we experience. His kindness is not limited by our human understanding. God cares just as much when the storms are raging and the waves are crashing into the boat as he does when the waters are calm and the sailing is smooth. How do we know God cares? Because he is in the boat with us. Jesus was with the disciples in the midst of the storm on that lake. He was with them in the fear, the desperation, and the confusion. Yet he was not scared or worried. He was a pillar of calm and control in the middle of the storm. And this meant when the disciples were in the storm, they were able to cry out to him, "Lord, save us." They could turn to Jesus and know that he would be able to save them. And we should condition ourselves to do the same. Whenever we feel like we are in storms of life, our first response should be to turn to Jesus and call out to him, "Lord, save us." We can do this because he does care. He always cares, no matter what the situation, no matter how big or small. And I say we need to condition ourselves to turn to Jesus because so often we do not make that our first response. So often we run around trying to solve things for ourselves or to find solutions from other people. A really silly example of this happened to me this week. Early in the week, I realised that I couldn't find something that is both expensive and important to me. I spent the first few days desperately rooting around the house trying to find it. By the third day, I asked Adam to help me find it. And it was only on the fifth day that I stopped and I prayed to God for help. I felt really silly asking God for help because it was only a thing. It is replaceable and unimportant in the grand scheme of things. I hadn't asked God before because I felt it was beneath his notice. But on that Friday, I reminded myself that God cares, even about the silly, unimportant, small things. And lo and behold, shortly after praying for his help, I was able to locate what I had lost. I had spent almost an entire week worrying myself sick before I took it to God. We need to condition ourselves to turn to God, even in the small things, so that it becomes an ingrained habit to turn to him when the storms are larger and more overwhelming. When the disciples turned to Jesus, he stood up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves, but when he had turned to the disciples with a question and a challenge, it was not a rebuke. You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Now, we might read that as if he was being really harsh with them, but I actually suspect it was said more compassionately than we might read. In these words is a lesson. The disciples were afraid because they were men who were used to being in control of life. Jesus says to them, "You of little faith." Clearly they had some faith in Jesus as they turned to him, asking for him to save them. Their fears still caused them to doubt him, though. Jesus knew that they still needed to grow in their faith, to learn to trust in God to be their protection and salvation. After all, this event happened quite early on in their discipleship journey. But how do you get to that faith that enables you to survive the storms of life? Well, the only way I know is to get in the boat with Jesus and to trust and believe that he cares. To go with him wherever he directs you, to know that he is in control. After all, even the winds and the waves obey him. So that's the second and final point, that we know, we can trust completely that Jesus cares. So are you willing to get in the boat? And are you willing to believe that Jesus cares? We have to face storms if we want to grow. But we also don't have to face the storms alone. Where there are no storms, there is no danger. Where there is no danger, there is no fear. Where there is no fear, there is no testing. Where there is no testing, there is no learning. Where there is no learning, there is no growing. Where there is no growing, there is no faith. Are you willing to face the storms of life, knowing that Jesus is with you, that he cares, and that he will guide you through? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are with us during the times when everything is calm and life seems easy. And you are with us when everything is out of control and we feel afraid or desperate. Lord, help us to realise that you allow us to face storms so that we can learn to trust you, learn to depend on you, learn to realise that you do truly care and you want to see us grow and develop in the best way possible. So help us, Lord, as we face the coming week, as we face whatever storms of life we may encounter, help us always to remember that you are there with us in the boat in the middle of the storm. You are not a distant God, but you are right with us in the thick of things, and you care deeply about what we are experiencing. And so help us to give everything to you and to trust you with everything. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.